Hi, this is Sue Hanley, and I'm going to moderate this session. I'm an Office 365 MVP, and I'll be taking your questions for Paul today. So, Paul, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Great, thank you. And can you just confirm you can hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Sue, and thanks for being here. My name is Paul Olenek, and I am a Microsoft SharePoint MVP, and I've been one for about 3 years now. And I have been pretty much dedicated to SharePoint and related technologies since about 2008. And I'm currently the Director of Product Innovation at AvePoint and do a lot of speaking and writing and so forth about SharePoint and Office 365. And I'm honored to be sharing a little bit of time with you today. So today we're going to be talking about Delve and the Office Graph. There's been a lot of buzz about these new products and new concepts. And so we're going to kind of do a crash course from top to bottom and really kind of understand, first, what is Delve? Secondly, what is the Office Graph? We want to have a discussion about the business impact of these new technologies. And then we'll talk about building custom solutions on top of the Office Graph. And then lastly, I'll share some important resources with you, right? We only have an hour today, but if you want to learn more and drill deeper, I'll provide some good starting points, and then we can do some Q&A when we get to the end. So at AvePoint, I'm the Director of Product Innovation, so I think of about software products a lot, and I think about them from the standpoint of what problem are you trying to solve, right? And so when I think about Delve and the Office Graph, that's my first question. So I think it's kind of a number of things. So first of all, the modern information worker, the modern person using SharePoint and Office 365 and working in any business is just overwhelmed by a huge volume of information, right? It's just totally overwhelming. And it's impossible to kind of keep up with all of that and kind of understand what the latest and greatest is, but also how do you prioritize it? There's so much of it. Which thing should I be reading first? What do I need to touch today? The second is that in addition to there being a large volume of information, it's stored in a multitude of systems. And even if you narrow that down just to Office 365, you've got Yammer, you've got many SharePoint sites, you've got Outlook, you've got blogs, you've got, you know, and so on and so forth. So again, even just in Office 365, how do I remember where that piece of information, that content that I was, how do I get it back at my fingertips and remember where it was? And then lastly, I think most organizations, even smaller ones today, have a distributed workforce. You've got people working at home, working all over the world. How can I make sure that I'm connected to the right people at the right time so that we're not duplicating effort or so that I can find those people that can help me do my job and vice versa? So I'd say that's what the problem is. And if you ask what Delve is, to some extent I would say it's the answer to that problem, or at least that's the vision, right? So Delve is an interface that will automatically surface the most relevant content to you, right? So it's something you can go and scan, and hopefully you don't have to do too much thinking, and it's just going to, the right stuff is going to appear in front of you. It's a way to provide quick access to your work. So those things that you've been working on most recently, if you want to find that document you were putting the final touches on last night, it's a quick way to find that stuff again. You can get quick access to the people and colleagues that you're connected to most, the people that you are presenting to, getting presented from, that you talk to on Linkalot and so forth. And it's also a new way for you to curate and organize content, right? So we can create these boards and pin content to those boards so that you can share content in a sort of specific way around, say, a particular project or something like that. They've also incorporated a new people profile page. So if you're familiar with the profile page that we have in your My site today, we have a sort of new improved version of that with a sort of richer interface, more insights being driven on there. And I kind of like the way that Satya, Microsoft's current CEO, talks about it. And, you know, it's sort of changed the way that he works in the sense that he it's a place that he can go to kind of scan quickly and understand what's going on around him, right? So I kind of think about, you know, if I'm on the bus or something on the way to work, I can pull up the Delve interface and get a kind of quick read on what's happening around me, what's the important content that I need to be aware of. So important to note that in addition to the browser interface, Microsoft has released a couple of mobile experiences. So there's Delve for iOS, and you can see the interface here, right? These, we have these different cards with the content that is presumably the most important on your iOS, and then they also have that for the Android app. So the Delve interface is basically, and I assume that you've seen it before. I'd like to give you a demo, but I'm having a little bit of connectivity issues, so we're going to go with slides only at the moment. We've got this concept of cards, right, which looks very similar to Pinterest or Flipboard or something like that, if you've seen that before. So we're kind of borrowing these user interface trends from the internet and the sort of latest and greatest. And you can pin these cards to various boards. So I can create a new board called MVP Virtual Conference or something like that, right? And then I can pin particular content to curate an experience, right? If I want to invite somebody to and share that board out, invite them to review that content, they'll see just the things that I pinned there, right? So we've got the cards, which are fancy search results, really. We've got the boards, which is a way that you can curate your content and pin your cards to it. There are a bunch of different views, right? I can see a view of the things that I've worked on recently. I can see a view of the things that are trending around me. And each of those, again, are really just kind of fancy search results. We've got rich images. So if you've seen the interface, and I'll just go back to the iOS app just so you can see it, we've got these cool kind of rich images, and those are actually being mined automatically from inside of the document. So this isn't the first page of these documents necessarily. There is an algorithm that basically finds the richest, most high-def image inside of your document, and then it'll surface it there to give you a kind of nice experience. We've got that new profile page that I talked about. So instead of just showing the properties that I've shared, say, where I went to school, where I'm from, what I'm working on, we have a new page that's going to derive insights. What are the things that are important to me? What are the things that are trending around me? And those will be shown on my profile page as well. And this is also just a simple first app that's built on top of the Office Graph. So it's one application built on the Office Graph, and we can expect more to come. So there are a few limitations around Delve that we need to be aware of, right? So the first one is that the content that's being surfaced in Delve today pretty much must reside in Office 365. Now, this is changing soon, but you still kind of need to know. If you're not using Office 365, SharePoint sites, and OneDrive, and so forth, as the repository for your important information, then Delve will be a kind of lonely place, and it won't be very exciting. But if you have all of your content there, then it'll be a much richer experience. Things are changing really fast with the Office Graph and Delve. So that's something to keep in mind. And one of the things that's changing is we're getting more and more sources. So I was at Ignite last week in Chicago, and during the keynote, they showed a preview of a new Delve version where they were showing, for instance, information being piped in from Salesforce.com, right? So we're going to have more connectors, more sources coming in here, but today it comes from Office 365. Secondly, it's really showing you stuff from the last 3 months, right? So it's showing you the most up-to-date, relevant information. So it's not a full search experience where it's going to surface things from across your enterprise that aren't, kind of actively being worked on. So just something to keep in mind if you're, say, for instance, building a custom experience on it, that's something you need to know. And lastly, it is specific to certain plans. It's getting more broadly incorporated, but today we have enterprise E1 through E4 subscription plans, And the Office 365 Business Essentials and Business Premium plans are coming soon. So that's what Delve is. So the other question is, what is the Office Graph? And the Office Graph is what the Delve experience is built on top of. Again, it's the first experience built on top of the Office Graph. So the Office Graph is really an underlying service that's built into Office 365, and it's a mechanism that's designed to capture key interactions between both users and objects, or users and users. So all of those things are being kind of captured, and then they apply machine learning to drive and derive insights from that. So just as a really simple example, if we have an actor, which is just a person, who views or modifies a document, we call those interaction edges in Microsoft parlance. That interaction is going to get recorded, and then we can sort of use that to derive insights later, and we'll see more about that. So more about these edges, right? So these are the relationships or interactions. These are all the properties that we have available to us as part of the Office Graph. So we have an actor ID. So my actor ID, we have a shorthand, I can say me. So all of the things that relate to me. But I could also say, show me the stuff that relates to Sue Hanley, and she'll have a specific actor ID that I can pass into my query against the Office Graph. We have the object ID, so that's the ID of the document or whatever, you know, object you're interacting with. The most important one is this action type, and in the next slide, I'll show you what all those different action types are. Of course, we have the time, which is going to help us drive the relevance of that particular piece of information, and a few other internal type things. But as I mentioned, the action types are really the most important thing that we can kind of get from inside the Office Graph, and these are really the things that I can ask the Office Graph. I want to ask it, for example, if we look at the first line, what's all the stuff that's in my personal home view in Delve? Or on the second line, what are the things that I have modified most recently, or Sue Hanley has modified most recently? And there's a variety of these, as you can see. The ones that are kind of the most exciting to me are towards the bottom here, what's trending around Sue Hanley? That's a powerful thing to be able to ask, and there's a sort of a fuzzy logic involved with it. And these are the types of things that you can derive from the Office Graph through those insights and machine learning, right? And we'll come back to this concept of action types in a moment. From a sort of logical architecture standpoint, and I will just point out that, again, things are moving fast and changing fast with the Office Graph and Delve. This architecture is changing a tiny bit, but the concepts will hold true. And so if we kind of look at this, we've got Delve at the top, which is sitting on top of the Office Graph, right? It's kind of querying inside of it. On the bottom, we've got our various sort of systems and workloads within Office 365. We've got Azure AD, we've got Exchange, SharePoint, Yammer, and so forth. And as users interact with these different systems, those activities are being captured by this blue bar here, right? This is the Office Graph, capturing that information, using machine learning to derive some insights, and then ultimately piping it into what is essentially a secondary search index. So in your SharePoint Online and Office 365 tenants, you've got your SharePoint index, and then you've got a sort of separate index, which is your Office Graph information. Today, querying against that secondary index is your primary and really only official way to get information back from the Office Graph, right? So we basically are doing special search queries that I'll show you in a moment to, you know, ask questions of the Office Graph, and then those get returned to us, right? Again, I keep mentioning things are changing fast. One thing I do want to point out is a few things that were recently announced or coming soon. So one is that there is a new way to actually query the Office Graph that's in preview. And for developers out there that maybe attended the Build conference, there's a new thing called a universal API. For those of us who are not developers, what that really means is there's a new development interface where that you can use to access all the different workloads across Office 365. So I can use the same interface to get something from Exchange or to request a document from SharePoint or to query the Office Graph. It's still in preview. It's very light right now, but that'll probably be the way that we go going forward. Again, I mentioned that there is a new API to push new sources into the Office Graph. So I mentioned Salesforce is something that Microsoft has already provided. They're going to open that API so that external third-party vendors could, say, maybe pipe stuff in from other systems like Jive or Box or something like that, right? Today, the only content that we'll see inside of Delve and the Office Graph are things that are in Office 365. Outside of Salesforce. And shortly, we're going to have what's called the on-prem, we're going to have the hybrid search connector. This is something that was announced at Ignite last week. And it's basically a search crawler that you put on your on-prem farm. And it essentially pipes that search content into the index in your Office 365. And so by extension, those things can now appear in the Office Graph as well. So you can see a lot more about the sort of what's to come, what's coming this year and next year on the Office Graph in Delve by just going to channel9.com and searching both the Ignite conference sessions and the Build conference sessions on this topic. So we talked about this idea that Delve is built on top of the Office Graph. We know that the way that we interact with the Office Graph is through that search REST API. And so the way that this really works is actually pretty simple. This is the Delve interface on the right here. And if a user clicks on any of these links on the left, it'll load a different view, a different set of cards here. And when you click on those, what it's really doing is firing off a predefined or canned query, as I like to say. And it's sending that query to the Office Graph through this REST API. And then it sends back search results. And those search results are in like an XML type format. But then what Delve does is formats them in this really cool way, right? And so, again, these cards are really just fancy search results that were returned from the Office Graph. So when you look at it kind of through that lens, Delve is really, I'm kind of oversimplifying, but it's actually a pretty simple application, at least from an architectural standpoint. So let's talk business impact for a moment. There are a number of ways that I think that the Office Graph and Delve are going to change the way that we work and have a big impact as it starts to get rolled out. So the first, and let's start with the positives, I think it could be a huge value to users, right? We talked about this idea that I'm on the bus, I'm on the way to work, I can, you know, kind of quickly look at the Delve interface, understand what's going on around me, what's trending around me, what are people reading, what should I be up to date so that by the time I hit my chair when I get to work, you know, I kind of feel caught up. I no longer need to remember, you know, which system was that document in, who presented that thing to me, whatever. I can kind of get back to all those things more quickly, and hopefully that's going to make us more efficient. And, of course, as we mentioned before with these distributed teams, this is a great way for me to understand what are people working on in global teams around me? Who should I be connected to that maybe I'm not today? I think the second way outside of those positive things that we kind of really need to be aware of is communications and training, right? People are really going to want to know, what is this new thing? When should I use this versus something else? When should I use this versus search? Why do I have a new profile page? What are these boards? How do I create one? Why does my Delve page look different than Sue Hanley's Delve page, right? All these things are going to require some explanation and help users understand, you know, how to use it effectively. And I think the biggest thing that we really need to think about with Delve and the Office Graph are concerns around privacy and compliance. So I've been doing a lot of talking with customers, a lot of presentations at user groups and conferences. I had the honor of presenting at Ignite last week about an application that I built on top of the Office Graph. And some of the key feedback I get is that, man, this stuff looks really cool, but my security officer isn't going to go for it. And as with all things, I think, like that, right? Like, and I think another one that I see a lot is, you know, is it safe to move to the cloud? And you have these kind of real risks and then perceived risks. And I think the same is true through with the Office Graph and Delve. One thing I should make very clear is that Delve and the Office Graph never change any permissions. So you'll never see anything there that you don't actually have permissions to. And that includes documents. It also includes those signals. So I showed you that table earlier about all those different activity types. Some of those activity types are private. So Sue's never going to see my email. Sue's never going to see the things that I've viewed recently, but you might see the things that I've worked on recently, right? So when I talk about privacy and compliance, the biggest thing and the biggest real threat when we talk about perceived and real threats, the biggest one is this idea of security through obscurity. Now, I have a deep search background, and I've done a lot of enterprise search, set up a lot of enterprise search systems for a lot of big companies. And one of the things that always comes up, for example, just as an example, is SharePoint's very good at crawling file shares. So it feels like really low-hanging fruit. Hey, you've got petabytes of information here. Let's crawl it and get some insight out of it rather than just sitting there withering away on your SIFs and so forth. The problem is this. We've got all this information out there, and typically these systems, you know, these file shares can kind of be a mess, especially from like a permission standpoint. And it's very difficult to understand which folders and which items inside those folders users have permissions to. So there may be a file deeply nested inside these folders that I have access to and I shouldn't. And maybe it has sensitive content in it, has people's salaries or something like that. If you're not crawling it and searching it, it's unlikely that I'll ever see it, right? Because it's buried inside this mess of a file share and I wouldn't find it unless I stumbled across it. That is the definition of security through obscurity, right? It's secure only because it's obscured from me. I don't see it. But now we're talking about a system that's going to take things and present them to me if it thinks that they're important. So let's take an example. Sue Hanley is my boss. She writes a memo to her senior advisors saying, hey, I think we're going to let go of Paul. He's doing a crummy job. If she saves that into her OneDrive instead of saving it somewhere secure, because she's my boss, it is very likely that is going to be pinned right on my Delve board, right? So this is a problem. Was it already a problem with search? Absolutely. But with search, at least you have to go and search, kind of proactively search for something, and you might see something that's sensitive. But now with Delve, we're talking about something that will automatically surface content. And so it's really shining a light on those problems. So I think it's a fair point that this is not a Delve problem, right? Delve is not causing this problem. It's just shining a light on it. And so really the right way to address this is through content stewardship, right? So the right way to address it is go and touch all of your systems, go through the process of assigning ownership of all your content, pruning the stuff that you no longer need, archiving things, making sure that the permissions are set properly and certified by the content owner. Easier said than done, right? If, again, you've got a company that's got a petabyte of information sitting out on a file share or inside their SharePoint, you know, that's it's a tough project and people have, you know, their day jobs to do as well. So if a company's in that position, they're likely going to maybe want to opt out of Delve and the Office Graph, which is an unfortunate thing, but I think it's a harsh reality. To do that today, we've got a couple of different options. So as an administrator, I can just turn off the Office Graph and Delve at the farm level, right? Sorry, bear with me. One second, I'm just having a little glitch with my PowerPoint here. Okay, so you know, when I think about the Office graph today, I think of it as a nice to have, right? People look at it, they think it's cool, they think they can get some insights out of it. But as I mentioned, Delve is the first experience, or one of the first experiences, built on top of the Office graph. We know that it's going to start to drive more and more experiences throughout the Office 365 platform. And what I think is going to happen is that there will be a tipping point at which, it's going to drive more and more experiences, which will create a tipping point where eventually, by turning off the Office graph, you're going to have such a degraded experience as compared to if you have it on, that it will become a kind of need to have. But until we get there, if you wanted to turn it off today as an administrator, you would go to your Office 365 admin center, go to the SharePoint area in settings, and there's just this switch here, right? Don't allow access to the Office graph. It'll turn off that, and it will hide Delve. But it's going to do that for everyone. The second way that we can opt out is as an individual user. So let's say I'm the CEO of a company, and while I want my users to be able to use Delve and the Office graph, I don't want my stuff in there. So from that Delve interface, if I click the cog on the top right, I'll get the sharing activity menu item. And by clicking that, I'll be presented with that screen that we have over on the right, and I can just turn it off there. Again, it's just going to hide my interactions from the Office graph and remove Delve from my experience. The last way is what I would call this a fully developed solution. This is a hook that we could use to develop our own solutions on, and it's a way to hide individual pieces of content from Delve. And the way that it works is you would create a site column called Hide from Delve or something like that. You would map that to what we call a managed property. A managed property is something in search that you can in the search system that you can search against, right? So we're going to add that column to search in a way that you can search against it. And then you can configure metadata for those individual documents. You would go to that new column and say hide from Delve equals true. And then the next time it crawls, it will prevent that item from ending up in Delve. Not from the Office graph, which is an important distinction, but from Delve. And just to kind of illustrate, this is a screenshot from a tool called Fiddler, which Fiddler is designed to capture and view web traffic. And so what I can see is when I loaded Delve, it sent this query here. And the first thing in there says, not hide from Delve contains true. So it's basically saying if that's true, then don't show it in Delve. But this situation where you have to create a site column, map it up to a managed property, and assign that at the content level is clearly not manageable if you wanted to, say, apply this to everything in your Office 365, right? So it's really just a little hook that we can use to remove some of those high-priority items.
Sure. Paul, I have a question for you. Please. Is Hide from Delve a predefined term so that anyone can use it, or do you have to teach Delve about how to use it?
You do not have to teach Delve how to use it. You have to wire it up. And so if you see this query where I have it highlighted there, this is the query that Delve is using. So it's aware of this Hide from Delve concept. And what you have to do is add the column to your lists and then apply that metadata and map it to a managed property which already exists.
But you have to use the exact term Hide from Delve. You can't make it pretty by putting spaces in it or give it a name like No Delve.
You can do that. So it's a good question. So the way that the managed properties work is the managed property needs to be named exactly as you see it here. So that's something that an administrator would do in central administration in the search area, but your column could be named whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good question. Speaking of questions, why don't we just take a quick break, and is there anything that any pressing questions that I can address right off?
We have nothing in the question queue, and I think that's because you've been doing a great job at explaining everything.
I completely agree. We're gonna test your theory here. So I want to get a sense myself, selfishly. I think that, you know, I talked about these three mechanisms that we have for hiding things from Delve in the Office Graph. We can turn it off at a tenant level. We can have individuals, users opt out, or we can, you know, hide an individual piece of content, although it takes some pain to set that up. My question to you is, are there more interesting, more granular options that would help you utilize this, right? What I want to know is, are there things that we can do so that your administrators and your decision makers won't want to turn this off? And so here are two ideas, and maybe you can just say yes or no, or say, you know, which one you like in the chat window, and Sue can kind of tell us what the results look like. But one idea is, could we automatically hide content based on sensitive content? So let's say search finds a document as it's crawling it that has a social security number in there. Should that automatically be hidden from Delve or the Office Graph? Or based on a particular location, based on some metadata like data security categorization or content lifecycle and so forth. So that's one idea. The other one that I think is actually more compelling, what about hiding content from the Office Graph based on the type of user? So everybody that's in my C-suite, or maybe if I'm in the government, folks that have really high security clearance, we don't want their interactions being captured by the graph, maybe by their job title, or just from a mechanical level, everybody in a particular AD group. Are those things that would be interesting to you? Do you think that they would give you more options so that you wouldn't have to just turn the thing off? So, Sue, you can let me know if any answers, positive or negative, come through for that poll.
Great. We have one suggestion for sensitive content, which I agree, although obviously that's a challenge to do. And then the second, can you flip back to this question?
Sure. Yeah.
The second option would be interesting. That's what one person has said. So based on location.
Great.
Yeah, I think legal hold, from my experience, that might be a very interesting thing. I don't know if you'd want to hide it or group it. To think that one through. What were you thinking with legal hold?
It's just whether those should appear in Delve or not, or whether they should appear in the graph at all or not. And actually, I think it is something that they've added to exclude from the Office Graph now. Like it's, they're updating this stuff all the time. And if you go and use Fiddler, as I showed you here, if you do that once a week, you'll start to see new queries come through all the time. They're updating it based on feedback.
Yeah, you know, data security categorization, I think, is extremely important. In every project I've ever worked on, the one common attribute that every organization wants associated with content is the security or sensitivity of the asset. And one would presume that you wouldn't want to make it super easy to find content that is tagged with highly sensitive. You might want people to see all kinds of other things, but that, to me, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, to me as well. So I had the opportunity, like I said, I was in Chicago last week at the Ignite conference, and I had a rare opportunity to sit with the engineering team and the chief architect of Delve and the Office Graph. And I don't think they'd mind me sharing this little tidbit. One of the things that they said, and kind of half joking, was that they built Delve as an example of what you can do with the Office Graph, right? So for sure, they're putting tons of investment in it, and it drives a lot of value, and they're going to improve on it all the time, and it's a great product in its own right. But really, one of the big reasons they did it is, like, it's so hard to explain what to do with the Office Graph. That was a really good example that they wanted to share with customers. So they fully expect both partners, third-party partners, as well as customers to be building their own applications on the Office Graph. So I'm just going to share with you, obviously this isn't a developer session, but I'm just going to share with you some of the concepts about how you might go about something like that. So we already talked about this a little bit. You know, we've got Delve on the right side, which is built on top of the Office Graph, which is on the left. And we talked about this notion that each of the views in Delve is really something of a canned query. And those queries, I already kind of showed you an example. You can capture them if you use Fiddler or some other, you know, web traffic capturing tool. And if on the right-hand side there, you can kind of see in that box where it says request header, that's what the query looks like. And it looks kind of like gobbledygook. I'm going to blow it up for you. If you're not a kind of search person or a developer, this looks a little bit scary, but it's actually quite simple. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of things just for explanation. So the first thing is on the top left-hand side where it says API search query. What I'm really calling out here is that this is exactly the way your developers are querying SharePoint search today. So if you have any sort of experience creating a custom application against SharePoint search, your developers will know exactly how to do this. And it's the same request process and the same REST endpoint. The way that the way that Office 365 knows whether to route your query to the Office Graph or to the SharePoint index is the second highlighted item I have there where it says graph query, right? So that's our flag. It makes, it lets the system know, okay, we're going to route this to the Office Graph. And then lastly, you can see I've highlighted the kind of important part of the query. And what it's really saying is the actor, right, the human being that I'm trying to get information about is, in this case, me, which is a variable that means the current user. And then the first thing it says is the action type is 1003. And if we go back to our little table and look up 1003, it's saying these are the items that the actor has modified in the last 3 months. Right? So it's actually fairly simple. And this is a nested query, and it gets a little confusing. But that's basically what it's doing. It's showing, show me the recent stuff for the current user. And then all this stuff after that is just talking about which pieces of metadata do I also want to send back with the results so that we can use that to, you know, format the results. So when I was started working with the Office Graph, there were a few really helpful tools. These are things that you could share with your developers or play with yourself in order to learn how to write these graph queries. And I'm told that we might be able to do a live demo, so let's give it a shot. I'm going to share out my monitor, and if somebody could give me a verbal cue or otherwise to let me know if you can see the Office Graph Query Tester.
It says loading.
Drum roll.
It's good on link. We're waiting to see if it's good on stream.
Okay. Bear with us, folks.
Not on the stream. It's trying again. Wait.
Okay, here we go. PowerPoint is up. I am getting back to my place. Sorry, folks. This is a new system for me, and we just had a little bit of technical issues, but we're getting back there. Okay. I'm going to give it a sec just to load in the streaming. So I'm hoping that you're seeing a interface of the Graph Query Tester. This is a really, really great tool. I cannot say enough good things about it. It was developed by a guy called Waldeck, who works for Mavention. He's a SharePoint MVP as well. And what he did was developed a SharePoint app that you can install in your interface, and it's really a test harness for creating graph queries. So this drop down on the left hand side where it says my work, there's a number of different views in there. So I can click that drop down and then click set query. And what it does is it loads up in that top input box the actual query that comes from Delve. And then what I can do as I'm trying to learn how to do this is play with that query and hit run. And so I can basically test my graph queries. So I just developed this whole Windows Phone app on the Office Graph, and this is how I designed all of my queries by working in here. And I really understood how the graph query language worked by coming in here, playing with it, breaking it, trying stuff, and experimenting. And this is something that's just provided by Mavention for free. So I would encourage you to check that one out. The second one is called the Search Query Tool, and this is a free tool that you can get from CodePlex, and it's built by a buddy of mine out of Oslo called Michael Svensson, and he developed this for SharePoint search and fast search for SharePoint, but it also works for the Office Graph, and it's a little exe that you can run on your system, and it can connect to your SharePoint on-prem or online environments, and you can use it to, it's really designed to troubleshoot queries. But you can see the raw query that gets sent to the graph. You can see the raw result as they come back. As you can see in the screen that I have up here, you can see each of the different discrete pieces of metadata that are coming back from the search system. So this is another great tool, totally invaluable. When I'm doing a search project, I use this just about every single day. And then the last way is, again, using Fiddler or another, you know, web capture, web traffic capture product. So if you are going to develop something against the Office Graph today, there really aren't any CRUD APIs. You only have that Office Graph. That's changing, like I said, pretty rapidly. We do have something in preview using the universal APIs. So those are to come. We already talked about the push APIs that are to come. But I think really the kind of takeaway is that if you want to develop something on top of here, you really kind of have to get creative, right? Because all you have is basically this ability to do search queries. And Microsoft, as I said, they have developed an iOS and Android app, but the Windows Phone app is not out yet. So those are things that you could experiment with. I'm going to just, as kind of by way of example, I'm going to talk a little bit about a project that I just worked on, which was building a custom application on top of the Office Graph. So my concept was basically Delve is really amazing at surfacing things that we're already connected to, right? Based on my interactions, based on the things I've viewed, based on the things that my colleagues are doing. And my idea was, well, what if we can surface things that you're not necessarily connected to, but should be, those things that fall outside of our circle. So that was the first concept. The second is an idea of trending topics, which is not something we have in Delve or the graph today. And so my idea is basically that on the left hand, I have the content that Delve says is important to me. And so by extension, I think that if I can extract key topics out of there, that those are important topics, and then I could use those to drive insights as well. Going beyond that, or kind of taking that a step further, is I could use those concepts then to start to surface other things, right? Now I can understand, you know, I can find people that are working on those particular concepts or that are experts in those concepts, or I can find other documents specific to those, right? And then the last is from a sort of usability standpoint. I wanted to develop something on mobile. I already mentioned Microsoft hasn't released a Windows app, so we went with them. In Windows One, I wanted to do some at least light Cortana integration and create some cool data visualizations, right? So again, we have kind of limited access to what we can get from the graph, but if we can kind of be creative on top of it, then we can build something sort of compelling. I think we're going to give this one more shot, and I'm going to try to demo my Windows Phone app here. So just bear with me for a second. I'm told it can take a moment to load on the stream. So what you should be seeing eventually is a Windows Phone app with some red tiles. Anybody on the stream that can confirm whether it's loading?
Not yet, Paul, but it hasn't broken yet either, so that's a really good sign.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for your patience, everybody.
Hey, it's there, Paul.
We're there. We did it. Bravo.
Yay.
To our tech team. So this is my Windows Phone app that I just developed. It's still being beta tested, but it'll be in the store later this month, I think. And so I talked before, you know, about this idea that I want to derive insights. So I can look at documents, I can look at people, and then this topics page. So these are basically topics that were extracted. There's a term called entity extraction, which is basically the concept of taking some text and pulling out the entities from it, or phrases or topics. And then based on the frequency with which they appear, I created a tag cloud, right? So those things that are bigger, those appear more often, and the things that are smaller and a lighter color appear less often. And then a user could click on these. So if I click on employee data, it will actually fire off a search across all of my enterprise search, right? So not just from the graph. Oh, it's great. It crashed. I did say it was still in beta, right? So that's the first concept. We'll see if this will load back up here. Great. The second is I can use those same topics to make recommendations about content that maybe I'm not connected to, but I should be. So all of these documents below those orange topics are things that would not appear in the Office graph because I'm not connected to them in that way, but they are related to topics that were extracted from those topics that were in the Office graph, if that makes sense. And I can look just like in Delve at recent and trending documents. And I mentioned that I wanted to make some kind of cool data visualizations. So this is the biggest data visualization outside of the topic cloud that we created. And basically, it's querying against the Office graph saying, hey, Bonnie Kearney is the person logged in. Who are the people that are most important to her? And let's rank them by size, right? So those people on the bottom that are real small, I have less intense interaction with them in terms of frequency than I do the people directly about around them. And then I can click on them and find out more information and see what they are working on. And then just the last thing I'll show you really quickly is this concept.
Paul, what do you mean by the intensity of the interaction?
I think what I really mean is the intensity of the connection is the frequency with which we are in contact through email, through meetings, through link, as well as our proximity to each other in the org chart.
And what about Yammer interactions?
I don't believe that that is one of the signals that that impacts that what I was calling intensity yet.
Okay.
And then lastly, these are suggested people. So similarly to what I did with the documents, when I extracted these topics, I went in and did a query on who are people that are working on documents that relate to those topics that we thought were important to us, right? So that's just an example of the type of thing that you might be able to do, you know, drive additional insights with a custom application. I'm going to stick with the desktop here and pull my slides back up.
Hey, Paul, here's a great question. Does it count if I review documents of my colleagues that colleagues are working on, even when they don't actively share them with me?
Yes.
And that's only because they shared those documents in a place that I had access to.
That's correct. So if you reviewed a document that was stored in a place where people did not have access to it, they wouldn't see it in their Delve experience. So it honors the ACLs. But viewing the document does act as a signal so that it should appear in your Delve experience.
So it's almost like seeing something where you weren't at mentioned.
Yes. So let me just get back to my place. Sorry, folks, about this. So just really high level, just so you understand, any of you who are technically minded, the sort of high-level architecture for this app is we've got the Windows Phone. All the logic runs on the Windows Phone. It calls out to Azure to get a token for authorization to talk to your Office 365. It sends one of those queries, like I showed you in Fiddler, to get the content back for each of those different views. Then we take that content, send it up to this thing called Carrot 2, which does the entity extraction, sends it back down, does some processing, and creates your screens. So that's how that kind of looks at a high level. So I think we've got about 5 or 10 minutes. Let me just talk about some key takeaways, and then we can open up for questions. So it's a really exciting technology. Microsoft is clearly betting on it, right? Every time Satya gets a chance to talk about technology, he's talking about Delve and how that's changing the way that that people are working and how they're working internally at Microsoft, and they're expecting that to spread to other companies as well. We know there are more and more graph-driven experiences in Office 365. I mentioned many times already that Delve is just one of the first experiences that's built on top of the graph. There are a few others. There's the clutter feature or focused inbox feature, which kind of divides your inbox into those things that are really important or not. There is some of the next-gen portals, like the video portal, is also driven by the Office Graph. And Microsoft showed a lot of different futures at Ignite, where there were a lot of interesting things like you have a meeting coming up, you open the meeting invite in Exchange, and it's using the graph to suggest materials that maybe you should review so you can get up to speed on the person that you're meeting with or the concepts that you're meeting about, things like that. Delve and the graph are changing really rapidly. Like this, you know, a lot of the kind of factoids in this presentation will be outdated shortly. So if it's something that you're interested in from a technology standpoint to build your own experiences on top of it, I think you're going to want to really kind of pay close attention and watch as things evolve. There are somewhat limited opportunities to interact with the graph today, right? We can really just use the graph API or two very simple methods through the universal API. But if you get kind of creative, the way I tried to do in the app that I demonstrated, you can create some pretty interesting insights. In fact, there was a really fun session at Ignite last week. It was called something like the MVP, some sort of competition. I think they were calling it a smackdown or something, where a bunch of, you know, a few really smart guys got together, developed applications against the Office Graph, and then had the audience vote on which ones were the best and most exciting. If you can find that on the Channel 9 feed, that would be worth watching, because each of the different participants really created something totally unique and had different ways of being creative about utilizing the Office Graph as it stands today. I do believe that compliance and privacy concerns may hurt adoption, right? I think because it's a nice to have today, organizations would be more likely to just flip the whole thing off, turn the whole thing off, I should say, rather than maybe pay money to, you know, develop a solution to add compliance or something like that. But my prediction is that as more and more experiences are driven by the graph, that it will become a must-have eventually. And when that happens, I think we're going to need some more granular controls around compliance. And then if you want to start playing with it today, you can download the iOS and Android apps, as well as just turn on the first release switch in your tenant, and you can start playing with it today. Hopefully there's an easy way for you to get, I believe there is, through the website, to get access to these decks, but this is a number of really useful and important links. So if you say, watch this, and you said, hey, this is important, where do I start to learn more? If you just utilize these links right here, you'd be in a really good shape for getting up to speed. The one on the bottom right, which is not a link, is just a prompt for you to go, again, to channel9.com and do some searches against Office Graph and Delve. You'll find a ton of great content with a lot of rich demos, latest and greatest announcements, futures, and so forth about the Office Graph. And
hey, Paul.
So, yep.
Paul, I have there's a question here. If you're if someone is the author of a document, do they know that people are seeing it in Delve?
There is an indicator of people that are viewing the document on the card itself, right? So there's a little number on the card somewhere that will indicate how many people are actually opening up and viewing it. But no, there's not an indicator. So if we go
not
back to that.
Not who it was.
No, that
and,
is a.
And, okay, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, while the Office Graph does capture the signal of who's looking at documents, it's a private signal. So that information is only available to the person who looked at it.
And as an author, and I really have no way of individually blocking access to a document without changing its permissions.
You have two ways. One is to set the permissions. The other way is to use that add the hide from delve column.
Right, that's what you would talk, but then that would have to be done for the container in which the document lives as an individual owner of a document.
That's correct. And the other caveat there is that if you built, it would not hide it, say, for example, from my application, right? It's only hiding it from Delve. So it's not hiding it from the Office Graph. So again, as more and more experiences are built on the Office Graph, that hide from Delve really is only going to apply the Office, sorry, to Delve, not to the rest of those experiences.
So we'd have to do a hide from Paul's app.
Yes. Exactly. Any other questions?
So Paul, Paul, I think that's the end of the questions that we've got.
So I would say I'm not a shy person, and you shouldn't be either. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me directly. I blog when I can about all of these concepts on olenicsharepoint.com. I am on Twitter at olenicsp, and then feel free to connect up with me on LinkedIn. But again, don't be shy. Feel free to reach out, you know, about this or anything else.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And you have all Paul's contact information right up on the screen.